Let us pray.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. For you are Lord. And now we know that salvation is real through the work, through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. And Lord, help us. Help us to see that it is good, it is pleasing, it is in our nature to bring praises to you. So we confess. We confess that during this week, we did not deliver the praises that you deserved, that we have neglected your goodness. We have often thought of your patience and your love towards us as a curse of inaction or neglect. And so, God, we ask that you would remind us of your patience with us, of your long suffering, of your steadfast love. We ask that you would give us a sense of hope and of enjoyment of the power of the gospel, and we ask that you would not allow our hearts to be callous to the message of the gospel. Foster in us, in our hearts, a sensitivity to your word and to your grace. Let it never become dull or old, but rather let it be bright and shining more and more, and that you would allow Christ to expand in our hearts and remind us of our need for a Savior, and that Savior is in Jesus Christ. God, cleanse us with your blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Sprinkle our hearts so that it may be clean, so that we may pray to you, and may we set our desires and our will in alignment with you. Guide us and shape us. We thank you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 15. If you have your Bibles, we invite you to follow along. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 15. And it reads, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. It's my privilege and pleasure to introduce our guest speaker to this morning. His name is Reverend Michael E. Littlefield. He's the President and National Director of Overseas Missionary Fellowship, OMF. He leads the U.S. team of OMF International. He has been with OMF for 28 years. So he's been serving longer than some of us have been alive, serving in Taiwan, Singapore, and the U.S. headquarters. It's our privilege and pleasure to have him in our Sunday worship service. Please join me in welcoming Reverend Littlefield.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Good morning. It is a real joy to be here. For those 28 years, this church has partnered with us, has prayed for the Littlefields, has encouraged us, has supported us, has prayed for us through a number of different things. Our time in Taiwan, our time at the international headquarters in Singapore, our OMF is led by Patrick Fong, our general director in Singapore, and it's wonderful to have him there. And then back in the States for these 11 years, I was director of personnel and now president national director of the U.S. home team. And we are getting used to this, but I want to especially thank you for praying us through the last 4 years or so. Through my first wife's cancer, and when she died 3.5 years ago. And you prayed us through that. And God has done miraculous and wonderful things. And God has woven us together. I'm a newlywed. Rhonda and I have been married for 7 months. I'd like to introduce Rhonda to you. Rhonda also lost her husband to cancer about 5 years ago, and her son to diabetes 7 years ago when he was 20. So we share a journey of grief and loss, but I know that all of our journeys are full of grief and loss and joy and hope as we move forward in all of these things. Rhonda is, I spent many years overseas in Asia. Rhonda has a different ministry experience. Rhonda's from Texas. I'm from New Hampshire. So we have a cross-cultural marriage. Rhonda is very gifted in equine-assisted therapy. She's a horse expert, and she's worked with therapists before, working with people in at youth risks and families and many, many different types of things. It's incredible how God is weaving our ministries together. What I like to do is pray and then have that video showed after I pray, and then we'll go into the message. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this fellowship. Father, we pray that we would be very much aware of your presence now, and that you would be glorified, that what I say and what each of us hears would be what your Holy Spirit wants. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me show the video, please.
It's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day of life. We can get so busy, we forget that God has a plan for the world. There is more going on than headlines and status updates. We need to stop and ask ourselves, what is God's plan, and what is He wanting us to do? From the beginning of time, God's plan has been the same, to redeem and rescue humanity from sin and destruction, and bring the hope of salvation to the nations. Adam was the first to hear the promise of this great hope, and this promise continues throughout Scripture. It is through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ Jesus that God fulfilled the promise to redeem and rescue humanity from sin and bring the hope of salvation to the nations. Christ is the hope of the nations, and God has called His followers to participate in His plan to bring the name of Jesus to every continent, every region, every person. It is the call that has inspired men and women to become history makers for the glory of God in every generation. It is the call to go. Over 150 years ago, this same call compelled James Hudson Taylor to devote his life to the people of East Asia and to found China Inland Mission. Now known as OMF, this ministry is bringing God's hope to those without hope. But sadly, today in North and Southeast Asia alone, there are more than 2 billion people who have little to no access to the message of hope. Over 2 billion people have not yet heard the name of Jesus Christ. Our call, our challenge, is to participate in God's plan to reach every unreached people group with the hope and light found in Christ, to shine His light in the darkest places in the world. God's heart beats for those who are without hope. His compassion is all-encompassing and ever-reaching. It lives outside the confines of time, place, and even history. His love and mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. James Hudson Taylor once said, "The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed." God's call to take part in the Great Commission is as relevant and real today as it has been in any time in history. He wants to use each of us, here and now, to use our time, talents, and passion to follow in the Great Commission. We all have a part to play. Together we can experience God's heart to redeem and rescue His people. Together we can bring the hope of Christ Jesus to the millions without hope. Together, we can bring His plan for salvation to the nations.
There is great darkness in this world. The forces of evil sow lies, discouragement and despair. Guilt and shame plague us all. Sometimes it is very hard to understand what God is doing. There is great hope in this world. God has chosen to make known to you and to me the glorious riches, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God has set in motion the greatest quest of all time. It flows from the depth of His love. It is woven throughout time, from that time when Adam and Eve fell. It's been spoken of and prophesied throughout the Old Testament. It has found completion in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is empowered day by day by the Holy Spirit, working in you, working in this church, working in the community of God's people. Someday, a day known only to the Father, that great quest will be complete. On that day, we who believe in Jesus will see a grand sight. John describes it in Revelation 7. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hand. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing all around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their hands before the throne and worshiped God. And I so appreciated the songs today and the quote from Piper about worship and missions. Rhonda, I had the privilege of joining one of your family groups last night, and someone said, "This is during this month of missions." And I thought how appropriate that is, because worship and missions go together, don't they? It is the worship from our hearts that change things. In all that is going on in this world, the book of Revelation tells us and promises us that we win. That Jesus is coming back and that He will bring His people home. There is hope. There, God will shine in the darkest places of the world. And that is where God has called OMF to shine. And that is where God has called you to shine. And I want to make it very clear that you do not need to go overseas to be in a very dark place. Many of the communities we live in, the culture we live in, the universities we attend or work in can be very dark places. Amen? And God's light through you is shining in them. In Romans 10, I want to reread this here, the passage. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scriptures say, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that is a truth that we bring into our daily lives. That same love of God has touched you. I believe most everyone here knows Jesus. Praise God. And I know I feel I just want to know Him more and more. In many ways, I feel we're all just kind of bumbling along toward heaven. God is working us step by step to become more like Jesus. If you do not yet know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I encourage, I exhort you to seek God. He will be found by you. He promises that. Speak to one of your pastors, to a leader, to one of your friends that knows Jesus. Just talk to them about where you're at. Take the next step. Following Jesus is not easy. It's not an easy world we live in. However, following Jesus fills you with a joy that is foundational. You will be able to weep with people and rejoice with them at the same time. It will give your life meaning and give you life to the fullest. You become more than you think you can be. Becoming a Christian costs you nothing. It is the grace of God. following Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus, will cost you everything. Over 150 years ago, God called a young man named Hudson Taylor to give his life for China. Why would God do that? And even more to the point, why would Hudson Taylor respond to leave home, family, friends, everything that he had ever known, and literally start over? There's only one thing that does that. He met the living God. He experienced that reckless love of the Father, and he was changed forever. He became ruined for the ordinary. God entrusted him with a vision, a journey, a goal, and a purpose bigger than he could imagine. And God wants to entrust you with a vision bigger than you can imagine. It will not be the same as Hudson Taylor, because God knows each one of us individually, knows how he gifted you and me. He knows how he created you. He knows the moment of your first breath and the moment that you go into glory. He says, "You are my man, you are my woman for this generation. I am going to work in power through you." Hudson Taylor said, "If I had 1,000 pounds, the currency of England, China should have it. If I had 1,000 lives, China should have them." No, not China, but Christ. Can we do too much for him? Taylor loved Jesus. And that is my prayer for each one of you. That is where missions and life flows from, that love for the Lord. Through that, he will give us the burdens that he wants us to have. Hudson Taylor's passionate heart for the nations was breathed into the China Inland Mission 150 years ago this year. Though our name was changed to OMF, that same heart still beats today. Millions and billions of East Asians have no hope of knowing Jesus. We not only want to see individuals come to Christ, but to see entire communities of faith transformed by hope. God brings this transformation through the church. So we focus on starting churches and discipling believers. Now, statistics are hard to grasp, aren't they? Well, in preparing for this, I came across a prayer letter from one of our colleagues, and he reminded us of Jesus' story about the shepherd and the 100 sheep, where one had gone astray and Jesus went to find them. The good shepherd went to find them. In Thailand, for every 100 people, 99 are gone astray. Less than 1% know Jesus, living without the eternal hope of the gospel. I'd like to tell you a story from one of our colleagues, from one of their prayer letters. It's called God in the Valley. Our colleague writes, "We are learning that in our desperation, God is our supply. In December, this is a couple of years ago, in December, I was motorbiking down a precarious mountain path to reach a remote village situated in a valley surrounded by mountains. I had traveled this road before twice. The first time was with a prayer walking team for our home church, and the second time was with a team from our school in the States. Months ago, we physically prayer walked through the same village, and at that time, there were no believers. In fact, there was not a single family amongst thousands of people in the entire valley. God was working, and now there was one, but they had to get there fast. Mrs. Lani had been seeking relief from demonic oppression. For years, she had struggled with fear. She heard that Christians could help, so she went to find some Christians that would help her. She would fall into trances and go into fits of rage and then joy. She would speak in a different voice and say things uncharacteristic of her personality. Local believers received her, delivered her through prayer, and sent her back to her village. But after returning, she would come under possession again and again, stronger each time, it seemed. So our colleague arrived at the wooden house with another colleague who was from a neighboring country. He was a local believer, and he would help with translation and prayer. Another teammate had arrived along with several believers the day before. They'd been praying and fasting the entire time. It was no small commotion. At least 20 random villagers sat watching the entire spectacle. Then she sat up. Mrs. Lani sat up. There she sat, expressionless and withdrawn. The Christians surrounded her, laying hands and commanding the evil spirits to leave in Jesus' name. "Stop tormenting me. Why are you making me suffer?" said the spirit through this woman in the native language. "If I leave her, I will have no place to go. If I leave her, then God will come to this valley." And the battle lines were drawn. We prayed, worshiped, and commanded the evil spirits to leave for hours to no avail. It was terribly late and we were out of energy. We were out of prayers. It seemed that all hope was lost. It was at this moment, in our desperation, that God came through. Life came back to her eyes and she awoke as if from a dream. She recognized our faces, spoke praises from her lips, and sat up in her right mind. We broke out in songs of worship and the astonished villagers applauded. Her daughter began to cry out of relief and joy. We spent the rest of the night sharing the gospel with the onlookers. 5 heads of households came to faith in Jesus and were baptized the next morning. Mrs. Lani and her family spent the next 6 weeks in that town going through steps of freedom in Christ, memorizing stories, songs, and scriptures. She's now completely free. Her daughter got married to a local believer. And God has definitely come to the valley. Praise God. This is a story that is quite dramatic and underscores a number of things. I also want to point out, for every one of our journeys, there is a spiritual warfare going on. Satan does not want to see people come to him, nor to grow in him and be discipled into him. Into our Lord Jesus. A few things from this story I'd like to draw out. The first is that this happened because at least one church in the home country, happened to be the U.S., had compassion on the lost. Jesus, remember, looked up and saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Missions comes from compassion, which comes from the love of God in our lives. It is so easy. I know in our work, the old method, easy to get caught up in numbers and statistics and that. But it's the compassion for people that drives us to see them come into the kingdom of God. The next point is that the church prayed. They knees on the ground. Prayer, as you know, I want to remind you, is crucially important. In this situation, there were many people that went and actually prayed. They went and prayed on the ground there. There are many creative ways of praying. You do not need to go overseas. OMF has a number of ways to pray. So do others. We have some information on table up back. We call it 5x5x5 prayer. 5 minutes for 5 days for 5 items each day. This month we have it focusing on a prayer for the Shan people in East Asia. We're trying to have these. And you are doing that too. But I just want to encourage you that prayer is absolutely important. And it needs to be persevering prayer. Before the breakthrough in this village, our colleagues had 31 prayer teams go through that area from overseas and from that country. Prayer is key. But we not only need knees on the ground, we need boots on the ground. People need to go. The church was willing to send their best, and I know that is what you do here. Seeing people from this congregation to move out into the kingdom work that God is doing. It's not easy work, but then being a Christian anywhere is not easy. as God moves us forward in amazing ways. In Romans 10, 13, 15, I'll go on here. We've already read this. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they believe? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And those same questions burn today. There is tremendous need in the world. We need to see people fight for justice. One thing I like to affirm and also point out that there is great partnership throughout churches and missions today. There's no one mission that has the one right way. God's called us to do different things in different ways and moving forward in that. We need to partner together in that. God has called OMF to explore that. We have 1,400 different colleagues from 40 different nations working within OMF, focusing on East Asia's unreached. Wherever they are in the world, reaching out to people that would become Christians, for example, in the U.S., then move back to Japan or China or the Philippines. We need to fight the injustices of this world. And I praise God for those that are involved in stopping the sex trade, stopping all these evil things that are going on. But the greatest injustice that God has laid in our hearts is that people don't have an opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ. And that is what we want to give people the opportunity to do. Another understanding is that it'll be the local church that will be most powerful in reaching in righting those injustices in those countries. That is why we focus on starting churches that worship God in the way God created them to worship, that love the Bible, that are indigenous, that the way God wants to, but also reaching out to others around them and then across cultures to people that we could never touch. That is something God is doing in powerful ways. As we step forward in faith, God will mold us to be more like Jesus. When I first went overseas, I realized that we are sojourners on earth. This is not our home. It's a wonderful place. But God is preparing a place for us in heaven. As we step forward doing what God wants, we will understand the hope of heaven. Is when that reality, that hope becomes more real in our lives, that God works in us and sends us out. There are many ways to be involved. We can pray, we can go, we can welcome, one of the first things, just to learn more about what God is doing in the world. And to be sensitive to where God is calling you. One of the realities that we need to keep coming back to is that God is in control. God is sovereign. God is working in ways that we can never think or imagine. I can remember thinking, reaching out in Taiwan to someone and just focusing on this person and praying and seeking to understand how to reach out. And that God does, it seems like nothing's happening in that person. But years later, someone over to the side said, you know, when you were talking to that person, the Holy Spirit moved in me. And I became a Christian. That's also that God will remind us that He's in control. He is the one that is working in and through you. So we need to listen, move forward in faith, and trust God, God's sovereignty. And God does it in so many creative ways. As one of our colleagues gave us the story that there was a man who's actually from the Shan state that we're praying for this month. He was just cleaning his house. He was sweeping. He accidentally knocked over a radio. And the radio happened to turn to a station, and there was a Christian broadcast on that station. A broadcast that only happened very rarely in the day. It happened. It just so happened he turned to that. The man listened to it, was intrigued, contacted the station person know, they connect with Him, and he ended up becoming a Christian. Only God could do that. But the point is also that those who were running the radio station obeyed God. And they say, even if we can get it out just these few times in a day, we need to trust God. So God is in control. And the church is the key. God is working us in powerful ways. I should talk a little bit about the cost of mission. As I'm reflecting on it, the cost of mission is not really the cost of mission, it's the cost of being a Christian. We are all called to do things that we probably would not choose to do on our own. That story I read about God in the Valley happened a couple years ago. Just this month, I received a prayer update from our colleagues there. Let me read a few things to you from that. There are many days that we feel completely undeserving and incredibly privileged to be a part of what God is doing in Asia. In Matthew 5, Jesus promised, "Those who are poor and realize their need for Him are blessed. Those who mourn, who hunger, who are persecuted, are blessed." We are blessed beyond words. It is a blessing to gather together last month with nearly 30 people to worship together, to work with the poorest of the poor and walk with them through persecution, to watch them apply the stories they've learned in their own lives and make a plan to obey its teaching. A blessing to watch these believers return to the district police twice in 1 week to face their persecutors. It was a blessing to watch them refuse to recant their faith despite threats and having their Bibles confiscated. It was such a blessing to watch people and hear their prayer partners pray for them, pray for their friends, and see God answer their prayers. It was a blessing to watch a miracle in motion as they were released from the police without incident. Even in the wake of persecution all around the country, we are blessed, even as we read about a pastor in that country who was murdered. It's moments that we recognize our desperate need for Him. It is in these moments that He shines through the brightest. We realize that this church will grow as a result of passing through the fire of persecution. In the last 2.5 years, a number of believers among all ethnic groups in the entire province has grown from 250 to 700. God is working. Some can say, only 700? The reality is, wow, there are 700. And that is the seed of a church that is going to grow in powerful, powerful ways. I'm reflecting a bit on our own journey. Our journeys of grief. Some of you know my brother Jim, who's going through his cancer. He's 47 now, 46, going through his cancer journey right now for these 2.5 years. Just found out the treatments are not working, so he's in hospice. He's got just probably a couple weeks to live. I was writing about him this morning on Facebook. We'll see him at the end of the week. There are two things that I think are important to us. One is that we need to have the hope of heaven, that we know where we're going. The second is that we want to be more like Jesus. And I want to affirm that not all on earth is suffering, but mingles together, doesn't it? They kind of weave in together. And it's when we follow Jesus that He creates in us this power to become what He wants us to become. The other thing we've learned is that God defines victory. Someone will say, for example, my wife, Rhonda's husband, they lost their battle with cancer. They actually won their battles. Because the greatest power of the spiritual warfare that we all face is day by day saying, I will still follow Jesus. Whatever happens, I know that my Redeemer lives. And sometimes it's faith day by day and minute by minute that we need to say, I know my Redeemer lives and I choose to follow Jesus. And that is where the work of spiritual warfare is done. Because then you have the authority to say to Satan, you go back to the pit where you belong. And like Rhonda says, I pray that when each one of us gets up in the morning, Satan gets up and says, oh no, they're up again. Because he knows that we are going to make a difference for the kingdom of God. I have another friend just sent a quote from C.S. Lewis. The cost, we are not necessarily doubting that God will do the best for us. We are wondering how painful the best will turn out to be. But again, there is that hope that comes through. From 1 Peter. In these days you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Because I love that, because all that we do results in praise, honor, and glory to God who deserves it all. And it goes forward with the hope that Jesus is coming back. One of the summaries that I came after Lime's journey going to be with Jesus, that God is good, heaven is real, and Jesus is coming back. When we deeply understand what God has done for us, when we realize that our sins are forgiven, that there is power in the risen Lord within us to face whatever comes before you, whatever you are facing today, God will never let you go. When we realize that we are released from guilt and shame, then we are indeed ruined for the ordinary. God wants to do more for you and me than we can think or imagine. He created you with tremendous potential that can only be released as we yield ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit. The battle lines have been drawn. It's up to us while we have breath to cast off the things that hold us back and allow the Holy Spirit to mold us into the men and women that God created us to be, that Jesus died for us to be. We at OMF would like to ask you to do one thing this week if the Holy Spirit leads. Take some time. Take 20 minutes. Go back to Romans 10, this passage. And just ask the Holy Spirit, what is next for you? It may be a very small thing from our perspective. It may be saying, I'm willing to go overseas. But it may mean going across the street to someone and say, I will really pray for you. It may be asking someone forgiveness. Maybe forgiving someone else. But take 20 minutes and just seek the Lord. What is next for me? And then pray for the grace, courage, and strength to take that next step, whatever it is. A dark, weary, and hopeless world is waiting for the people of God to arise. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for what you are doing. I pray for this community that they would hear clearly from your Holy Spirit what is next for them, and then to move forward in faith, knowing that you will enable, you will strengthen, you will move them in power. All these things we pray for the glory of God the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.